And we are now live.
Thank you, Camille. Well, welcome everyone to the Lane Transit District Board of Directors regular meeting. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, 2021, and I call this meeting to order. I'm going to start with roll call. When I call your name, just please acknowledge verbally by saying here or present. So let's start with Joshua Scove.
Here.
Thank you, Josh. Emily Secord.
Present.
Thank you, Emily. Don Norden.
Here.
Thanks, Don. And Stephen Yet.
Present.
Thanks, Stephen. And Michelle Weber.
Here.
And Susan Cox.
Here.
Great. And I, Caitlin Vargas, I am also here. So looks like we're, the whole gang is here. So welcome everyone. So I'm just going to start tonight really quickly with just some comments from the board president. Like I said, I'm really excited to see two new faces. So I just want to welcome Michelle Weber. Michelle, it represents Subdistrict 2, and she has over 25 years as a bank industry professional, and she currently works for Columbia Bank as assistant vice president, and she has a very long history of serving in her community. She served in leadership positions on the Springfield School District Board, Springfield Public Library Foundation, Springfield Rotary Club, Springfield Education Foundation, and the Wildish Theater. She's extremely dedicated, very competent, and extremely compassionate leader with solid working relationships in Lane County, and we couldn't be happier that she's joining us. So everyone, please say welcome to Michelle.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and work with all of you.
Thanks, Michelle. I'd also like to welcome Susan Cox. We're so thrilled to have Susan as a new addition as well. So Susan actually represents Subdistrict 7, and she has over 25 years as an adoption and child welfare advocate. She's the Vice President of Policy and External Affairs for Hole International Children's Service. And in addition to the important work that she does for our community, her work also extends nationally and internationally as a respected leader on child welfare, adoption, and foreign affairs. She is a member and affiliated with a long list of organizations. And what's really cool, she was also just appointed as the first White House first White House Commission on Asian and Pacific Islanders. Susan, did I get that correct?
Actually, that was the first one, but it was under Clinton. So it was a while ago.
Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you for correcting me. Well, huge welcome to Susan as well. Thank you so much. We're so excited that you're joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I also want to say thank you to everyone with their cameras on. As a reminder, we are recording. So thank you as you continue to keep your cameras on, but your microphones muted. That's very much appreciated. So, and happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. We've got some fun green screens. I see some fun outfits in the crowd. Sean, I'd like to call it tie. Very nice shade of green. Josh, love the moss green jacket you have going on. I can't see everyone. I think Dawn might have some green plaid. But thanks for being fun and participating in this really fun holiday. I'm so sorry that we're all here because it's sunny and it's St. Patrick's Day, but we have a really exciting agenda and we're gonna have a good time. So with that, let's move forward with the general manager's comment. EJ, can you enlighten us? And we're so happy to finally see your face now that your video is fixed. It's so good to
have my new, yes, I'm happy to have my new laptop, which allows me to be able to turn on my camera again. So yeah, very nice. Caitlin, I do have a few announcements. First, very happy to see Michelle and Susan and happy to welcome them on board. Nice, we haven't had 7 board members in a long time. So that is really exciting to have full engagement. I also want to say that you guys will get an email from me. I want to just let you know that the work on the strategic business plan is still ongoing. I'll reach out to you guys via email asking as we're putting our list together of community stakeholders, if there's anybody that you have on your list as a must contact, we want to make sure we grab that information. So I'll reach out to you just wanted to make sure that everybody knew we're still working on the community engagement for the strategic business plan. And lastly, I just want to announce that tomorrow, in LTD's tradition and something that the transit industry does, is we recognize our transit employees. We try to really focus, especially a year like the pandemic, on our bus operators. So it's Bus Operator Appreciation Day. But we, of course, also recognize all of our frontline employees in public safety, facilities, maintenance, who do an outstanding job. So tomorrow, we're hoping the weather is not as rainy as it's supposed to be, because a few of us will be out there engaging our bus operators and trying to make it fun for them as they work. So just wanted to let the board know about that. And that concludes my comments.
Thanks, AJ. Please, we love anytime we have the ability to thank any of the LTD staff and employees for just the great job that they're continuously doing before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and they're going to do after the pandemic. So that's great. Let's move on to announcements and additions to the agenda. I'm going to ask the board members to add agenda items only that are urgent and really require attention at this specific meeting. So does anyone have anything that they need to say? Josh.
And this is not for this meeting, but it is, I think, urgent to just make sure we get on a future agenda. There is a bunch of money for transit in the most recent federal COVID relief bill. And I think we are due to hear some sort of big fiscal picture for the agency, incorporating that and sort of where we are with spending previous CARES Act dollars and other pandemic period relief dollars. So I just want to say, I think we'll need that strategizing before too long. It may fit well with upcoming budget committee meetings, but I want to make sure that specific big picture that really spans multiple fiscal years is something that we take a look at. That's all for now. Thanks.
Thanks, Josh. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Stephen.
Thank you. Just keying off of what Josh just said, a question maybe for AJ and Mark. When we have some visibility on how much we're getting from the latest legislation that just passed, it would be appreciated. I've heard the number that is coming our way is about $30 million, but I would love that to be confirmed or made precise whenever you guys can. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Stephen. And AJ, did you wish to respond at this time or not right now?
I can't provide that. We don't want to leave a mystery out there. And Stephen is correct and Josh are correct. It is not officially published yet, but we have heard that the number is $32 million in additional money. And using that as a gauge, we are submitting that as part of, as Josh said, our budget plan. We will be bringing to the board not only the upcoming budget, but we will also be bringing to the board a 10-year financial plan, which is the first one we've done in a long time. And we will also be bringing to the board updates to the community investment plan that also goes out 10 years. Given the amounts of dollars, we believe that's important that we frame it in that context. So we will be bringing that. So it's $32 million. The exact dollar, it's and some change, but it's not confirmed. As of yesterday, we checked and it has not been published, but it should be published maybe by Friday.
Thanks, AJ. And I would encourage any board members that have additional questions relating to the upcoming budget committee, definitely reach out to AJ. Whether there's more substance that you want to see addressed at that time, or you have some more topics that you'd like to have covered, or just questions or wanting to get caught up to speed, please reach out. All right, thank you so much, AJ, and Josh and Stephen for that. So moving to our next agenda item, just as a reminder, we're putting a pause on Employee of the Month right now. That will be resumed at a later date. So just please keep that in mind. So next we have audience participation. And Camille, can you please read the statement for audience participation and then also please assist anyone who's wishing to address the board?
Absolutely. Thank you, Caitlin. Okay, so for anyone who is wishing to provide public testimony to the board, to indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button. For those attending via phone only, press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. When it is your time to speak, your name will be called. Those attending via phone only, the last four digits of your phone number will be called. Please state your name, city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. Once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please do not raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is being provided. For those unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@ltd.org. And as a reminder, public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. A timer will be displayed on the screen and will beep when the 3 minutes is up. At this time, I'm showing two people indicating they would like to speak. Bear with me one moment here while I share my screen for the timer. Okay, first up, we have Rob Zako. Rob, whenever you're ready.
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
I'm Rob Zako. I'm executive director of Better Eugene Springfield Transportation. And this evening, I really just want to say me too. I want to echo comments from President Vargas and from General Manager Jackson, welcoming Michelle Weber and Susan Cox to the LTD Board of Directors. Really excited to have both of you. The work of LTD is really critical in our community. It's more than just providing transit service. It's really providing opportunities for people to get to work, to school, to shopping, to doctor's appointments. And really appreciate both of you stepping up to help guide this important work. We also want to say me too. BEST has now supported 3 separate COVID-19 relief packages, and we're pleased that in all 3 cases, Congress has seen the wisdom of that and that LTD continues to get money to fill the gaps in funding during this very difficult time. So we're really pleased that the latest package, it sounds like we'll be providing another $32 million to LTD. And we look forward to seeing where LTD goes from here. That's all I have to say today. Thank you very much. And someday look forward to you seeing me in person.
Thank you, Rob. Next up, we have Linda Duggan. Linda, whenever you're ready. Linda, you're still muted.
Can you hear me now?
Now we've got you. Go right ahead.
I'll start again. My name is Linda Duggan, and I am speaking on behalf of the Southeast Neighbors Transportation Committee. We wish to thank board member Don Norton and LTD's Aurora Jackson, Mark Johnson, Pat Walsh, and Cosette Reese for meeting with us and with Eugene City Councilor Matt Keating on February 25th and letting us share the stories of our neighborhood. We also wish to thank LTD planning staff for sharing LTD network data with BEST and Eugene neighborhoods. We appreciate the opportunity to share our neighborhood's stories. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And I am not showing anyone else indicating they would like to speak. So Caitlin, I will hand it back to you.
Thank you so much, Camille. I really appreciate that. And thank you to Rob Zako, for those comments and also to Linda. So thank you. Let's move on to board member reports. Do any of the board members have anything to report on about any committees that they serve on?
Well, I'll say a little bit about the Lane Act.
Okay.
It's been very, very busy. We've been having a lot of extra meetings, and my impression is that the Oregon Transportation Commission is making a serious effort to communicate with the acts, and that has been a complaint for the last few years. But now we have a new commissioner and so on. So that seems like a very positive interaction in the last few meetings, and we're going to be continuing to have more development in that procedure. But just wanted to bring a highlight to a little positive note with the state of Oregon.
Thanks so much, Don. Josh, go ahead.
Thank you, Caitlin. I just wanted to, just for the benefit of the members of the public and because this is recorded, just to note that we have some slightly out of date information on committee membership in the packet. So just want people to know that membership of the contract committee in particular has changed. So that's all. It's no longer me and Carl and Emily. It's, I believe, Emily, Stephen, and Michelle. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Josh. And Josh and I did have a MPC meeting. And then I would say, and I also had the SPC meeting with Emily. And I just wanted to say that for the first, sitting in on an SPC meeting for the first time, what a great group of folks and some major power players in our community. And I was really impressed at that group of individuals who all care so deeply about LTD. And it's pretty great to have some former LTD presidents on there as well, who just bring some great institutional knowledge with them on that committee. And so we talked a lot about the strategic business plan, and Pat Walsh was also at the meeting. We talked a little bit about how the strategic planning committee intersects with the strategic business plan that we're currently working on. And so that was the topic of conversation. But once again, just very impressed at the members of that committee. Anyone else have anything else to add? Okay, great. So let's move on to consent calendar, and I'm going to be looking for a motion for that. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped over something. Camille, was there anyone from SPC who actually wanted to speak?
No, there is not.
Okay, sorry about that. Back to the consent calendar. I will look for a motion.
Well, I'll move that we adopt the or accept the consent calendar for this month. I don't have the script in front of me here. So
that sounds doable. Is that okay, Camille?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, thanks.
We just need a second.
And I will second what Don said. Sorry, okay. Emily, you can second it.
Okay, so Don made the motion and Emily secured second. That's great. Thanks, everyone. So I'm going to do a roll call vote. Joshua Scove.
Hi. Sorry.
Okay. I saw your mouth go, so we're good. Don Norden.
Aye.
Thanks, Don. Emily Secord.
Aye.
Emily, thank you. Stephen Yet.
Aye.
Thanks. Susan Cox.
Aye.
Thanks, Susan. And Michelle Weber.
Aye.
Okay, and I also vote aye, so that passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, so I'm very pleased to bring on Kelly. Is she, oh, yep, there she is, perfect. And Kelly is our presenter. So, hey, nice to see your face. It's been so long.
Great, thank you so much.
and welcome to our two new board members. We're so glad that you've joined us. My name is Kelly Hale. I am LTD's Sustainability Program Manager, and I work with Matt Imlach in the Fleet Management Department. I'm here today to ask you all for approval to authorize the General Manager to execute a contract with the consulting firm WSP USA Inc. For a contract in the amount of $225,000 for the purpose of developing a fleet procurement plan that will allow the district to meet the goals that was outlined in the Climate Action Policy Statement and goals that the board passed back in June of 2020. And just for reference for our two new board members, I'm here before you today in accordance with the resolution that states that the board must review and approve all contracts that exceed $149,999. So because of that, I'd like to just walk you through three things. First, I'm going to touch on what the project is designed to accomplish. Next, I'm going to talk about the procurement process that we went through. And finally, I'm going to touch on funding sources and alternatives that we have before us today. This contract will allow the district to evaluate all of the available fuels and technologies that are on the market today for both our bus and our paratransit fleet. And this will allow LTD to figure out what the best fit for new technologies and fuels are for our specific location and our specific context. The fuels and technologies that we're going to be looking at that are under consideration are focused on hybrid vehicle technology, renewable natural gas, hydrogen technology or hydrogen fuel cell technology, and battery electric technology, as well as the liquid biofuels that we're using today. So once we review all of those fuels and technologies for our ability to meet the goals that were part of that climate action policy, LTD will engage what we call a fatal flaw analysis. And then once we figure out which of those fuels and technologies make sense for LTD, we'll move forward with developing a fleet procurement plan that will show what the timeline of those expected vehicle purchases are, and will show exactly how we plan to meet the goals that were outlined in that policy. The three goals that we're specifically focused on are, number one, in the short term, we have to meet the 25 electric buses in the next 3 years. We're already on track to not only meet but exceed that. But the other two components of this fleet procurement plan that will really allow us to do is to figure out how we can, in the long term, meet the 100% reduction of fossil fuels in our fleet by 2035, and the reduction of 75% greenhouse gas reduction in our fleet, our owned vehicles, by 2030. So the procurement process that we went through, we put out a best value request for proposals in the fall. And when we did that, only two proposals were received. And at that time, when we evaluated those, both were significantly higher than the independent cost estimate that we had prepared for the project. And so what we did was we revised the scope of work, we clarified it primarily, to provide additional information to proposers on resources that we were bringing to the table. And we kind of reorganized the scope to make it clearer for how many variables the consulting team would need to evaluate. And through that process, then we put the best value request for proposals back out. We actually received five proposals in the second round, and all of them were within the proposals that were received were in the highest ranking by our evaluation committee. Both of those were within the independent cost estimate that were received. And so then we went into an interview process with those two firms. And at that point, we selected WSP USA Inc. as the best value that will allow LTD to meet the requirements outlined in the scope of work. And just for reference, WSP was in the first round of evaluation based on the written proposal. They scored the highest. They also came in with the lowest cost proposal. And then after the results of the interviews, they were also scored the highest in that instance as well. So we're really excited to move forward. In terms of alternatives, you have a couple of options before you. You could deny the contract and ask that the work be done internally among LTD staff. However, this would require significant more staffing and a significant delay in the project and the timeline. The other alternative is that you could reduce the scope of work to only focus on one or other of the two fleets that we're planning to look at. We would recommend that you would start with the fixed route bus fleet, but you could choose to do it with either the paratransit fleet or the fixed route bus fleet. But again, that would also cause significant delays to the overall timeline. And as the climate action policy goals focus on a 15-year time horizon to get to zero fossil fuel use in our fleet, that only allows so much time before, with a 12-year useful life of the vehicles that we purchased, that only allows so much wiggle room in terms of making decisions at this point before the buses we're buying today are going to bump into that 15-year time horizon on the back end. So in conclusion, I just wanted to let you all know we had a lengthy conversation at both the ad hoc sustainability committee meeting on February 24th about this project, where we outlined the suggested approach. We also had a great conversation with the contract committee, where they asked lots of questions and got good information, and the project was approved from both of those groups. So I'm happy to take any questions that you might have about this project at this time.
And Camille, I don't know if this means anything, but Andrew Martin has his hand up. Oh, now it's down. Never mind. Oh, now it's back up. So I don't know if he has
any I'll tap. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone from the board of directors have questions for Kelly? And Kelly, thank you for such a great presentation.
I just wanted to commend Kelly on her work, and I think I'm prepared to vote on this resolution and wish well, hope we proceed this as quickly as we can.
Any final questions or any discussion before Don makes a motion? Josh?
Stephen's hand was up first, and then I can-
Oh, I'm so sorry, I did not see his hand. Okay. I'm sorry about that. Stephen, go ahead.
That's okay, Josh, go. I'll follow you, that's okay.
Okay, first of all, Kelly, thank you for the incredible clarity of the presentation and also for making the trade-offs clear if we were to try to choose another path. I'm with Don, I think we should forge ahead. I really appreciate that you guys put the consultants through the ringer and did two rounds to come up with what worked best for us. Nice job. I would just say in case it isn't obvious to everyone, I mean, just because I think different pockets of us have been parts of different conversations. Part of the urgency here is that we are already procuring vehicles that run on fossil fuels that will potentially make things difficult for meeting our goals toward the end of this decade and early in the next decade. And so there is, just as Kelly said, a fair amount of urgency. I hope we can approve this tonight. But thank you. Great job.
Thanks, Josh. Stephen?
Thanks, Caitlin. I just want to add for Michelle, Susan, Josh, and Don, who weren't at the contract committee meeting that Emily and I attended with Kelly, that Kelly's grasp of the issues here are deep and very strong. And we had a very good discussion at that contract board meeting, and certainly feel that this is the right call that she is suggesting. And I'm very comfortable with the work that she's done along with her team, and I certainly support this effort.
That's great, Stephen. Thank you so much. All right, well, on page 23 of our packet is...
I move adoption of LTD resolution 2021-03-17-013.
Thanks, Josh. Second. All right, Josh made a motion and Don did a second. So let's do a roll call vote. Let's start with Josh.
Aye.
Thank you, Josh. Don?
Aye.
Thanks, Don. Emily?
Aye.
Thanks, Emily. And Stephen?
Aye.
Perfect. Thanks, Stephen. And Michelle?
Aye.
Thanks, Michelle. And Susan?
Aye.
All right. And I also vote aye, so that passes unanimously. Thank you so much, everyone. And once again, thank you, Kelly. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. Much appreciated.
Okay, great. Now, all right. So next up, we have our moving ahead update with Andrew. So Andrew, welcome. We're so happy to see you and we're excited to hear what you're going to tell us. So kick it off.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Thank you. So hi and welcome to all the new board members. My name is Andrew Martin. I am a development planner here at Lane Transit District. So I work on a lot of our long range planning, but get to kind of help out with all of our efforts around here. It's really fun. So I'm going to share my screen with you. I have a really quick presentation. We wanted to give you an update on our Moving Ahead project. So a little bit of background. I'll start, I guess, by apologizing. We're not going to be able to cover kind of the full background of Moving Ahead. It's a project we've been working on since 2015. And it really is a big project. It's fantastic to work on, but it may be a little confusing as I go on to try and give you a high level overview. And I really wanted to start with kind of a high level overview where we've been for the new members of the board, also to refresh kind of everyone's memory and also for the benefit of members of the public who may be less familiar. So this project is a joint project with the City of Eugene and Lane Transit District. And really the heart of it is kind of implementing our other plans and policies, particularly LTD's long range transit plan and Eugene's Envision Eugene, which is their growth plan. So we're really looking at how to integrate land use and transportation investments in a way that helps our community to grow and to really grow successfully. We're doing that primarily by looking at investments in Moving Ahead, specifically around for people who are walking, biking, rolling with mobility devices, and taking transit. So the goal kind of at the end of the project would be to have LTD's board and city council decide on a, I'll call it like a coordinated package of investments that can be implemented over about a 10-year time period. And we would continue to work together to implement those. We're calling that a preferred package of investments. And those investments really are made up, I'll start by saying, it's the reason we have a package of investments is because we're looking at five major corridors. And these align, like I mentioned, with Eugene's vision for growth in the community and where we would need investments to help our community to continue to move on these major corridors. So those corridors are Highway 99, River Road, Coburg Road, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and 30th Avenue. And I'll note, this is just within the boundaries of Eugene. We do have other projects with the City of Springfield. So Moving Ahead kind of stops right there at I-5, particularly on the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard corridor. So on those corridors, we're considering a range of options. And those are, of course, no build, which we mean do nothing now. We're not going to make investments as part of Moving Ahead. Kind of the high end investment would be bus rapid transit. Locally, we call that our MX system. I think most people are familiar with that operating from West Eugene through downtown to the university and over into Springfield. So that would be our high level of investment. And that means a whole bunch of things like unique stops and stations, branding, buses every 10 minutes. They're the big green buses. So it has a pretty specific meaning here, and it's bus rapid transit and how we implement that locally. And new as part of Moving Ahead, we're talking about how to be perhaps more strategic and make an investment somewhere in the middle. So I call it a moderate level of investment, and we call that enhanced corridor. And really all that means is we'll have just a lower level of investment, but we're working with the same toolbox. And that's what's really great about this project is we're just taking a look and saying, what out of our toolbox do we want to use and how high of a level of investment do we want to make? And those tools, just to kind of give you some really quick examples, are things that we see on our MX projects like the business access and transit lanes. They are enhanced crossings with the yellow lights that alert drivers that pedestrians may be in the crosswalk. Dedicated transit lanes when we really need them. So we see that on Franklin Boulevard currently. transit queue jumps, which we have some of those on our West Eugene project. They allow the bus to kind of go to the side when there's when there are a bunch of cars queuing at a light. And then we have our own light, which allows us to get in front of traffic and continue on our way. And finally, for bicycles in particular, we're considering things like routing bikes behind our stations so that there are less bike and bus conflicts on these major corridors, protected bicycle facilities. But we really have this whole big toolbox that we're working with. And it really comes out to the context of the corridor, right? So we know that on Coburg Road, we need very different investments than we might on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So using that context, figuring out the right level of investment and how to make those investments so that transit, walking and biking, they're much safer, they're much more convenient for our community members, and they really are an option for people as our community continues to grow and, frankly, traffic continues to be an issue. So really quick timeline on where we've been, because I think it's important. We've been at this, as I mentioned, since 2015, and a lot of work has gone into it. We have done a lot of technical analysis, but what I'd really like to highlight is that since 2015, we've done a lot of community outreach. That's been a really critical piece of this project. From the beginning, we started by deciding on the corridors, but then we immediately went out and worked with the community to come up with our designs, which I'll mention are conceptual, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, what that really means. But we made these conceptual designs with community involvement. We had to do some technical analysis that led to the publication of an alternatives analysis. That's all super technical stuff that is part of the environmental review process. The easy way of putting it is we studied all the corridors and what the outcomes would be across a range of topics, from biology, impacts to businesses and property owners, traffic, things like that. And we published all of that information in 2018. And then we went back out to the public and we said, okay, now that we know how these projects will impact all of these corridors, tell us, what you want to see. What's your vision? We used all of that to develop an initial set of investment packages. And by investment packages, again, what I mean is just deciding conceptually on what we would like to see on each corridor. So for example, it could be a combination of Highway 99 enhanced corridor, River Road enhanced corridor, 30th Avenue no build, and so on and so on. And we developed a range of those for people to comment on and went back out to the community and got feedback, revised those. And that led ultimately to a public hearing in fall of 2019. And that's kind of the last major milestone. We had this big public hearing. We had done the community outreach that we felt was appropriate leading up to kind of the last few steps to make a decision, which is your job. But then the pandemic hit, right? As we were gearing up to come back to city council and the board, it was March 2020, as we were trying to get all our dates on the calendar. And of course, we all know 2020 was a very different kind of year, and we put the project on pause. The community had a lot of other things to deal with. We learned we had more to deal with wildfires and everything else. But we are, I think, ready to start moving the project forward again, particularly because the city of Eugene has requested that we do this. And there are a number of reasons for that. The environmental work kind of has a time limit on how long it's relevant, but also just that they are moving forward with a number of projects. We want to continue to coordinate and be able to leverage investments that the city may already be making. So as the city continues to make our roads safer and more efficient, we want to make sure that we're coordinating LTD's potential investments and really looking at the big picture, looking at the system level, taking a look at our whole community and how we can make those investments in a really strategic way. So I'll talk about our kind of immediate next steps, but I just wanted to zoom out. I know this has been confusing and it sounds like we're making this big decision, but I wanna highlight that this is kind of the first phase and we're gonna come back and there's a lot more process left to do. We're gonna, at some point, hopefully by the end of the year, select a preferred package of investments. So we'll know conceptually what we as a community want on those corridors. And that decision will be made by LTD's board. And at the same time, city council will make their own decision. Those ideally will be in line with each other. And then staff have a lot of work to do. That's kind of the, we've conceptually decided, but there's still a lot of work to refine our designs. That'll be done in consultation with the community, particularly with impacted property owners, how we can mitigate any, thing that we think we might have an issue with right now. There's a huge hurdle of seeking funding, but then we still have additional levels of environmental review, and that also involves community outreach. So one thing I would really stress is that you all still have a role in the future in helping to shape this project, and so does the community. When we select a package of investments, we're not gonna run out and build anything, but it is an important step. It's really necessary to figure out what our vision on these corridors is so that staff can put their time and attention into figuring out how to actually make that a reality and doing that kind of critical work of refining those designs and making it work. The last step is construction. And like I said, we're looking out about 10 years. We do not expect that we would have all of this construction done in 10 years, but to substantially advance these projects in a way that's really meaningful to the community and continues to make progress on them. So kind of our immediate next steps to get to that decision, we have scheduled for May 26th at 12 p.m. a joint work session between LTD's board, you all, and the Eugene City Council. That meeting will be virtual. Essentially what we hope to do there is to kind of share the results of the public hearing. We never reported back to you all of the great feedback we got. We had 120 comments from 92 individuals. We heard a lot of great feedback about the project across a wide range of topics. And we, as I mentioned, prepared a report that summarizes all of that. We will be sending that out to our decision makers. But in advance of the meeting, we're kind of putting some last finishing touches on it right now. But we'll share that with the community and with you all. After that, we really are going to start engaging our project committees again. You may remember, or you may not know, but we have an oversight committee, which is composed of local elected and appointed officials. And also we engage with the strategic planning committee, and we hope to get a recommendation from those two groups on kind of the preferred package that they think the community should have, and we'll bring all of that to you all, hopefully this fall, when we can engage in deliberations and you all be able to make a decision. So again, I know super high level, a lot there. So we have some time for questions and I'm happy to answer those, but I would also encourage any board member who would like a refresher or who hasn't had the benefit of years of working on this to schedule a meeting with the project team, both planning team members from LTD, but also from the city. And we can really spend as much time as you want kind of going over the designs, what that would mean for different areas of town. You know, they're conceptual designs, but we have an idea of where kind of those investments would need to go. And we're really happy to take as much time as we need to make sure you have the information to really engage with this critically, but also to make a decision you're comfortable with. And Camille, I think, can help us get that scheduled. So contact Camille if you'd like to do that, but I would really encourage you to, I would give you as much of my time as we need to. So with that, any questions?
Thanks so much, Andrew, for that. That was great. And we do have a few questions, and I just want to reiterate, you know, Andrew, encouraging everyone to just dig a little bit deeper and feel a little bit more knowledgeable on this process. I'd say probably, if it's okay with you, Andrew, reach out to AJ. She's kind of our bridge and our go-to, and then AJ can delegate from there when it comes to scheduling. But AJ's going to be our first point of contact when it comes to staff members. So let's... I know I'll probably end up taking you up on that offer. It'd be nice to get a refresher before we meet with the Eugene City Council. It's been so long. So I want to start with Stephen. I saw his hand up first. So Stephen, go ahead.
Thanks, Caitlin. And Andrew, thank you for that recap. Appreciate that. Just have a question maybe from 10,000 feet. Could you explain to me how you and the team are viewing the LTD and City of Eugene relationship, how that framework is viewed, please?
Definitely. I guess I'll answer for myself, because I work with City of Eugene staff on pretty much a daily basis, and we have, I think, a really productive relationship. Our goal is to, like I said, make sure that we're coordinating on all of our investments. When we build projects in the community, we've learned over the years, particularly with West Eugene, that we can really make our community a lot nicer. Our projects aren't just transit projects. They're also sidewalk projects. They're also, bike projects. There are a lot of elements to them, even things like utilities. So coordinating with the city from my seat at LTD is really important. And it's played out in other ways by building those relationships. I have staff members at City of Eugene call me about other things like bike share or really any issue that they're having. Sometimes it's just a bus stop. They got a complaint about a bus stop or something like that. So, from where I sit, our relationship is really productive, and moving ahead as a project has been successful, but also the way that's allowed us to work together on other things has been really productive from my point of view.
Stephen, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, thank you. That is helpful, Andrew. And I apologize if I wasn't clear initially. I guess I'm more thinking about who is leading the project. Is that viewed as the City of Eugene is leading this project and LTD is participating in a supporting role, or is LTD leading it and Eugene is the latter? Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. Sorry, I answered a different question and I apologize for that. My answer, I guess, is that it's a partnership, right? And fundamentally in partnerships, we often have different roles, right? So for instance, LTD got the grant money. We administer the grant, which pays for our consultants on the project. At the end of the day, the city is the road authority. And what that means is we need the city to make a decision about, what happens on their roadways, right? So if there was conflict about what we wanted to do, ultimately the city is the one that owns the road. And they're the ones who are going to make that kind of final decision about what happens on the road. So it's really a partnership, and we have different roles. And in some ways, the city is the final decision maker. And in other ways, LTD is. For instance, we decide, what kind of service we want to run. And that's why it's important we're really on the same page about these issues.
Caitlin, can I just want to make sure, Andrew, I think that was very well explained, but I want to make sure, because Stephen asked who's the lead. As a mass transit district, we deliver projects on behalf of the local jurisdiction. So because of that, the Federal Transit Administration considers the City of Eugene as the lead project decision maker. And should they desire for us to deliver this project, then the project is then taken on by us, the Mass Transit District, and our board of directors becomes the final say, saying we will do this if the city, the elected body, has said we can do that. Now, if the City of Eugene were to say we don't want it, LTD, this board would have no jurisdictional authority to say we still want to do that. And the reason is because as a mass transit district, like Andrew stated, the roads don't belong to us. They belong to the jurisdiction upon which we operate. So the city is a lead in FTA's point, but the reason it's a partnership is the city needs LTD if the board were to say we will support the city's decision for some type of project, then this body would say we authorize LTD staff to seek funding. So we become the grantee and the project coordinator and investor in the project on behalf of the federal government. So it always gets confusing, but as far as decision making, the jurisdiction, the city would be the lead on that.
Thank you for that, AJ, and thank you, Andrew, also.
All right, let's go with Don. I see your hand up, Don.
Okay, Andrew, in your discussion, you mentioned the bike share thing, and you've been on the selection committee for who's selecting the purveyor for that. Has that been done yet? Do we have a new bike share program going on? And this is kind of goes into the City of Eugene and LTD system, because we're the transit agency, but micro transit is going to be a very important part of the mix of, you know, services that this transit agency provides. But the City of Eugene is in charge of that right now. Could you speak about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So I believe that they have a contract signed. There is an operator who was selected. I don't know the specifics of their exact start date. It is soon. That's my understanding. Potentially within the next couple of weeks. You are correct. The city does own the bike share. They were the group that got the original grant to make that happen. And they own all of the bikes and the infrastructure. The operator is just a nonprofit who is taking over kind of the day-to-day of driving the bikes around, or actually sometimes they bike the bikes around to rebalance them, and that kind of work, maintenance. The city is the owner, but we are a really key partner. We did the original feasibility study for bike share that kind of said, you know, this will work in our community, but we do not own those bikes, and we are not responsible for the contract with the operator. We are, however, a strong partner with them, and I continue to, as you mentioned, coordinate with them. I helped select the operator. They let me have a seat at the table on that vote to select the operator. We also participate in quarterly meetings where we try and help provide feedback to the operator of bike share on kind of how they're doing and what we would like to see them do.
Thanks, Andrew. Josh, I know you had a question. Do you want to go next?
Sure. Don, did you want to follow up on anything there?
Well, at this point, you're not prepared to announce who the operator is.
I think we can, if you think that's important. They issued the notice. Yeah, so it's, I've heard the city say it publicly, so I think we can. It is the group Cascadia Mobility, which is affiliated with Forth. They're a nonprofit. It primarily works on electric vehicles, but Cascadia Mobility will be focused on bike share, particularly within the state of Oregon. We're their first and biggest kind of client, but their goal is to help out smaller communities that have bike share, like I think Ashland and Bend and others.
So their CEO is Brady Hilton, or Brody?
Yes.
Okay. Can I just interrupt? I do want to say, Caitlin, that this is not on the topic of, so Andrew's actually now talking about a different topic, and I just want to make sure that we're respectful to the City of Eugene, that if we were going to present on that item, we probably would have advised them so they can be at hand to answer questions. So I just want to kind of protect Andrew a little bit, because I know he's on the spot.
No, I appreciate that. I'm obviously still learning as a guest. I would call myself a facilitator as to how to lead discussions. And so thanks for that, AJ. And I will keep that in mind as we are veering from the path, what's appropriate and what's not, especially when we're talking about other affiliates. So thank you for that. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to Josh then, and we'll steer back over to moving ahead.
Great, thank you, Caitlin. And Andrew, great job bringing us back up to speed. And I love that you described it as a benefit if someone has been working on this for many, many years, which I definitely have. Have you been on the SPC? That was funny. I mean, it is a benefit, though I do, for new board members in particular, I hope you have a chance to dig into this and really, you know, take you know, via AJ, as appropriate, take Andrew's offer of getting up to speed seriously, because there's a lot there. Three really quick comments, one on vision, one on some ongoing policy processes, and then a comment about the kind of the money involved in different versions of this. So first of all, on vision, and this is where I think Don's comment, although Don, you did drag us pretty deeply into micromobility there. I think Don's right to bring that up because it's about vision. And I think it's important when people think about moving ahead that this is not like, what are we doing in this budget? What are we doing in the next 6 or 12 months? It's about what kind of transportation system do we want to create? What kind of community do we want to live in? What interaction between transportation and land use do we want to have? So having that vision piece, like really like front and center as you absorb this stuff, as we all absorb this stuff, I think is absolutely crucial. And on that note, Andrew, I love that you pointed out that our projects are not just transit projects. I feel like I have to keep this soundbite alive because it hasn't surfaced in meetings recently, but West Eugene MX was the largest sidewalk project in the history of the city of Eugene. It was ostensibly an LTD project, but it was the largest Eugene sidewalk project. So it's important for us to think about how our, you know, quote unquote, projects get other kinds of infrastructure done. And there are other aspects of that as well. So Andrew, I appreciate you calling out vision. The second thing I mentioned was these ongoing policy processes. So I've mentioned before that I'm on this Department of Land Conservation and Development Rulemaking Advisory Committee for the Climate Friendly and Equitable Communities rulemaking process. That's a lot of words, but the point is that there will be new rules from the state about how communities do land use, and that will interact with the transportation system. It's aimed to help shape the transportation system. So as we start thinking about what we, you know, how we want to have these discussions with the city of Eugene, we also have to know that the city of Eugene is going to have new regulatory obligations and new vision essentially to implement. And that's going to be all about equity and greenhouse gas emissions reduction. And transit is like the big arrow in the quiver. So let's sort of know that we're going to be like a really important partner. In some ways, I think that's kind of an answer to Stephen's question in some ways that like, yeah, the city will lead and the city has jurisdiction over land use and they do own the roads. And LTD is this really important part, like a really important set of solutions. So that's sort of coming down the pike, not that far off. And then this last point, I just want to plant the seed with people about the dollar figures that appear in these things as we return to them. And I know, you know, board members who had a chance to see this before, you know, will remember this well. A lot of these price tags look really big. They look big compared to our operating budget. They look huge compared to our capital budget. But I want people to think about like making sure that we get the right frame of reference. And the right frame of reference is not, are these big infrastructure projects big compared to what we spend on an annual basis, but rather how big are they compared to the economic benefit that they generate? Because having a crappy transportation system, one with a lot of congestion, one with a lot of pollution, one with a lot of deaths in the system, deaths and major injuries, that is expensive in all sorts of ways, and not all of which you can denominate in dollars. And so we should really think about how to wrestle with those big dollar figures, but what numbers to set next to them? Like what is the value that's delivered for the community? And that's sort of an ongoing task for us at the policy level to ask for. It's like, you know, what do we really want to compare this to? What's the benefit that's generated? All right, I will leave it there for now, but thank you. Thank you, Andrew. This was great to get our heads back in this.
Thanks. And then Don, is the hand raised from your last question or did you have another question? Okay, great. I just want to check in, Emily, Michelle, or Susan, did you have any questions or comments?
I have a comment. I would be interested in getting a little more up to speed as to this project. So if Caitlin is interested and if there are others that are interested, maybe we could just make that a one presentation and, you know, if we could all make that coordination, make it easier on everybody.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, great. So we're going to move on. Andrew, once again, thank you. Great presentation, very clear PowerPoint. We appreciate that you dumb it down for us, and thank you so much for all the work that you do. Really appreciate that. Okay, so next up we have the Main Street Safety Project update. So that's gonna be Tom, Molly, and Emma, and I will let, we know Tom Schwetz, but Tom, for our new board members, if you could introduce yourself, and then Molly and Emma, since you're new to a lot of folks in the group, if you could also do a quick introduction and welcome. Thank you for being here on this sunny Wednesday. Go ahead.
Sure. So good evening. My name is Tom Schwetz, and I am the Director of Planning and Development at LTD. And I have Molly Markarian, who's a senior planner with the City of Springfield, and Emma Newman, who is a senior transportation planner with Springfield, here tonight to provide us with an update on Springfield's Main Street Safety Project. And they'll tell you more about that project. And it's, just so you know, it's being coordinated with LTD's Main Street Transit Study, of which this city is a partner, and they'll speak to that as well. And I would also add that SPC received a similar presentation at their March meeting. And so, Molly, you want to kick it off?
Thanks, Tom. Good evening, board members. Emma Newman here with City of Emma. Springfield. I am actually going to kick it off and then hand it over to Molly for the main presentation this evening. I just wanted to say thank you so much for having us. Great to see new faces on the board. So if I haven't met you in person, I hope to someday soon, hopefully. Just to give a little bit of a recap, I'd like to share a little bit about the Main McVeigh Transit Study, which is, as Tom said, coordinating with the Main Street Safety Project. So Main McVeigh Transit Study had an initial phase one, that evaluated whether or not to pursue studying transit along the Main Street and McVeigh corridors in Springfield. Phase one wrapped up in spring of 2015 with the Springfield City Council and LTD board recommending to move forward with additional study of MX enhanced corridor and no change transit solutions. The Main Street governance team has provided guidance to both the transit study and the Main Street Safety Project. Currently, the LTD board members on the Main Street governance team are board members Yett and Weber. And I know that we'll be having a staff meeting tomorrow to discuss how to support you getting more familiar with the project, member Weber. And then we have two Springfield City Council representatives, and the ODOT Area 5 manager also serves on the Main Street governance team. So after phase one, the project moved on to May McVeigh Transit Study phase two. And during phase two, the Main Street governance team directed the project to remove the widest cross-section, which considered dedicated bus-only lanes from the design options under consideration. In July of 2019, the governance team recommended removing the MX transit mode from further consideration and moves the enhanced corridor and no change options forward for further analysis for Main Street in coordination with the Main Street Safety Project. Moving forward with enhanced corridor and no change for further analysis in coordination, as I said, with Main Street Safety. I just wanted to note that service planners from LTD and development planners are serving on the Main Street Safety Project's Technical Advisory Committee. We have a standing coordination meeting with LTD staff, and most recently at the Technical Advisory Committee meeting in October, members were directed to take a deeper look at our draft toolbox of recommendations, which Molly's about to walk you through, and provide any additional transit input to be incorporated into the draft facility plan, which is the next step in this process. So with that brief introduction about the transit component, I'll turn it over to Molly Markarian, our senior planner and the project manager from the city, for the Main Street Safety Project update.
Emma? Good evening to all of you. I know that some of you are on our interested parties list and receive e-updates on the project. For those of you who may be less familiar with the project, I'm going to do a brief project refresher tonight, let you know where we are, and then review the draft toolbox and recommendations that we've developed. As Emma said, the next step in our process is to develop a draft facility plan. Josh, I think.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize for interrupting, Molly, but I just realized, listening to Emma and then you, I'm still seeing what appears to be a title slide. I don't know if that's true for other people, but I don't know if you meant to animate into additional slides. This happened to me on Zoom the other day, so I'm paranoid.
I'm gonna switch to the next slide in a second, so let us know if it-
Okay, just checking. Okay, sure. All right, forge ahead, thank you.
Okay, so we always like to start with the purpose statement to help remind us why we're all here. The purpose of the Main Street Safety Project is to select infrastructure solutions that will make Main Street safer for people walking, biking, driving, and taking transit. The Main Street Safety Project is recommending changes to Main Street to help improve safety and address the specific type of crashes that occur on Main Street. We see a high percentage of rear end and turning movement crashes on the corridor, which is common with urban streets that have a high number of driveways and intersections, but 80% is particularly high. Our data shows that the primary causes of crashes on Main Street are failing to yield right of way and following too closely. A number of people have asked whether there are specific areas on the corridor where we see more crashes than others. As you can see in the map on the screen, crashes occur throughout all of Main Street, and thus why we need a corridor-wide solution. Over the past 2+ years, the project team has been refining solutions based on community input, technical analysis, and city council feedback. At this stage in the planning phase, we are seeking feedback on draft recommendations to inform preparation of a facility plan that will guide future design and construction of safety improvements on the corridor. Overall, we've heard from business and property owners, the city council, and the broader community that we need to address safety on Main Street while balancing safety elements with impacts to businesses. Thus, our recommendation is a toolbox of safety infrastructure elements that includes roundabouts, raised medians, sidewalks, and bike lanes. Design and construction would occur in phases along Main Street over the next 5 to 20 years as funding becomes available. We have short-term and long-term recommendations, an example of how we've responded to the community's desire for gradual implementation of change on Main Street. In the short term, we recommend keeping the cross section much like it is today to allow for medians to be put in quickly. Raised medians would have the biggest impact on safety while having less interruption to travel on Main Street. In the long term, we recommend improving safety and comfort for people walking and biking. Most of the corridor would have buffered bike lanes and slightly wider medians, resulting in additional 4 feet of width on each side of the street. For approximately 4 blocks where we have larger existing right-of-way and fewer driveways, we recommend a cycle track next to the sidewalk. This is not a one-size-fits-all recommendation. Both of the long-term cross sections increase the overall footprint of Main Street to improve the bike facility, but include flexibility for modifications specific to each segment along the corridor that could narrow the overall footprint in physically constrained sections of Main Street. The necessary modifications to the recommended cross sections will be determined during future design phases. Another tool in the toolbox are raised medians, or islands in the center turn lane, because they can do the most to reduce conflicts and move turns to safer locations. They can also make pedestrian crossings safer. Most of Main Street would get raised medians, but we would adjust their locations so people can still make some left turns and U-turns. The toolbox incorporates flexibility through guiding principles to help meet safety needs while balancing impacts to adjacent property and business owners. 12 guiding principles reflect the input that we've received to date to help a future design team determine the appropriate locations for breaks in the medians, and include considerations such as keeping openings at all major intersections, allowing left turns and U-turns at minor streets where possible, limiting the amount of extra time it takes someone to access properties on Main Street to 30 to 60 seconds on average, allowing left turn access to major traffic generators, and allowing emergency vehicle access. As I mentioned, raised medians have the greatest potential to reduce crashes on Main Street. The use of medians, when combined with roundabouts, would reduce crashes by nearly half and limit out-of-direction travel for business access to about 30 seconds on average. Community members told us this would be an acceptable trade-off when we did outreach. The last major component of the toolbox relates to intersection control. Roundabouts are recommended as the long-term solution for Main Street. We would add roundabouts in phases, another example of location-specific gradual implementation. That was a brief overview of our draft solution toolbox and recommendations. We're still at a high level of planning, and there is a great deal of flexibility in the toolbox of recommendations to allow the city and ODOT to work with business and property owners to address site-specific concerns as design progresses. We're wrapping up our current round of community engagement, and we'll then be sharing the draft recommendations and the feedback we've received to date with the Planning Commission, the Main Street Governance Team, and the City Council to inform drafting of the facility plan this summer. And if anyone has any questions, Emma and I are happy to answer.
Any questions? I'm looking for hands up. Okay, Josh, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'm happy to let Springfield people go first. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut in. I can go at the end. I'm just enthusiastic about the topic.
You're actually the only one with your hand up, so kick us off. Can we
open the screen and get everybody on this? And Josh, no more caffeine for you tonight, please.
How did you know? Actually, this is just water, I swear. Even though it's St. Patrick's Day. So I am, well, then I will go, and maybe this will rustle up some more comments. Emma and Molly, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. And I guess I don't want to make this like too grim, but I just want to remind people that it was 6 years ago last month that that three young children were killed in Springfield crossing the street. And for many of us in the community who've been advocates on transportation safety, that was a really like a really powerful moment. It shouldn't take people dying to have a wake-up call, but it was a big deal. The kids were 8, 5, and 4. My daughters were 8 and 5 at the time. So it actually was like personally very powerful. And it was out of that that we got Vision Zero resolutions, transportation safety resolutions about the city of Eugene and here at LTD. I know because of the pandemic, we haven't had a conversation at the board level about our safety goals and framework that predates the pandemic by quite a bit. So AJ, I don't know if you want to comment on that in a sec, but I just wanted to say I really, really appreciate that that staff at the City of Springfield have gone and really like talked to the community, listened to the community, and heard all these things that are, these evidence-based approaches for making the street more pleasant for people who are the most vulnerable, people walking and biking, but also like making it just safer. So thank you so much for that work, and it's really exciting. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Josh. And I'll chime in. My mom lives in assisted living on 48th and Main Street. And something like this is just really exciting for me because I definitely see the need for it. I'm visiting her often, and we're at Willamette Lane 5 days a week. And so we're driving on Main Street, and I definitely see the risk there. And so it's really exciting to see that this project is moving forward. And I also really appreciate your clear graphics that you used, Molly and Emma, to really illustrate what we can be expecting. So thanks so much for that. Is there anyone else that wants to chime in? Don, go ahead.
Well, this isn't going to be very useful. I was a member of the governance team back in 2015 or so, and I just want to express that I was disappointed that you did not choose the MX. I thought that would have been so beautiful going down Main Street, but you know, that's the past, and you know, just kind of, it was a different vision at the time. So could we get the big screen back? Because I'm just seeing the thank you note here.
Molly, if you want to end screen share.
There we go.
So much. All right, any other comments?
Don, if it's a consolation prize, I will just say that it's part of our frequent transit network. We do have one of our most productive lines on that.
No, they 10 minute service. It's better than anything else in town, but you know, just as far as the street divine and making it safe and making it a very pleasant place and a one that would, you know, redevelop into such a nicer way, you know, that we're beginning to see on West 11th. And well, anyway, that's a different vision.
I was going to say, Michelle, you're probably pretty excited to hear this, your first meeting, because you're like pretty much the official Springfield champion, right? And so it must be pretty fun to see what's happening right in your backyard.
Yeah, I've actually seen a few of the previous presentations at City Club and Rotary and some different things. So it's really neat to see it progressing and see pictures and get a visual of it. It's great.
Great. Okay, I don't see any other hands up. So huge thank you to Molly and Emma and Tom. Thanks for being here this evening and for that great presentation. And, their contact information was there if there are any questions. But thank you so much. We just really appreciate all that you're doing for the community to make it a safe space, and for your visionary work.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your meeting.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Molly and Emma.
Night.
All right. So two great informative presentations. It feels nice. It feels like we're starting to get a bit of normalcy back, and we're not just focusing on the pandemic. We get to look towards the future. So this has been an exciting meeting. So next up on our agenda, we have the general manager update. And AJ, you gave us a robust amount of information as to what you have been up to. And so was there anything that you wanted to speak to tonight?
I did. What I wanted to speak to first, let me frame it for Michelle and Susan. So due to the pandemic, the performance review for the general manager, myself, was delayed for almost 6 months so that the board really focused on the conditions that we were facing as a transit agency. So the board engaged back on my performance review in the month of November and ultimately passed a resolution in December of 2020 by setting goals for a 6-month period that go through June 30th. And because of such a short time frame and the key performance outcomes requested, the board did ask for some type of regular communication and updates. So this report that I provided to you, and I'll just go through it quickly, since you guys probably have read it or could read it at a later time, it outlined goals like goal number one was crisis communication. What we did is staff our PIO brought at the February meeting a presentation about the crisis communication, outline a process on how that project, how that plan is in draft form, the steps that will be taken. And the next steps that we are planning for is to do a tabletop implementation. And as a result of that tabletop implementation, any lessons learned, it will be incorporated. So I was planning to bring that back to the April 21 board meeting, indicating that goal number one is placed on the agenda for approval. But I do want to indicate that the March 29 ad hoc GM performance review committee, three of you and Caitlin, I know it's you, Josh, and maybe Michelle that are on that committee. That will be an opportunity for you, the three of you, to provide me any input that you have on that prior to that being put on the agenda for approval. And then goal number two is establish and maintain effective relationships with the community members and writers. And that goal asks that I provide monthly updates about my activities. What I do want to say is that I sit on about seven boards in addition to my duties at LTD. All of those activities on those boards are directly related to my role as the general manager. I sit at committees that involve housing, transportation, advocacy for dollars for transportation, the Global Warming Commission, what else? And the Bus Coalition, a lot of advocacy, Oregon Transit Association. And I attend regular meetings. So Cornerstone Community Housing. So I have like seven meetings or board meetings a month that I attend. But in addition to that, there's also regular communication. So in this report, it's really just providing you that information. As you can imagine, each one of those meetings is 1 to 2 hours long. So I try not to just kind of pound this with information because sometimes it's too much and it's overwhelming. But I really just wanted to highlight those main activities that I do throughout the month. And then there was an area in which we wanted, the board wanted some type of communication out to writers. Cosette Reese did provide a presentation at the February meeting. And the goal is to place that based on getting input from the committee at the April 21 Board of Directors meetings for, and then the employee climate survey, the board requested. That survey has been done and completed. And I just received the results today and the analysis. So I will be developing that information for the board, submitting that, and giving the committee an opportunity to review it. I will also send it out by March 26th to the entire board. So you guys will have it, but at the March 29th meeting, the committee can choose at that time to discuss it. Goal number three was about the climate action policy. You've heard a lot about the work that's being done. Kelly Hale provided that presentation today. She's presented at the contracts committee and also presented at the ad hoc sustainability. So I made sure I provide goal. And then of course, the last goal is about the fiscal resources, financial responsibility. That you will see in May. In May, you will see a 10-year financial plan. You will see the upcoming annual budget and you will see the community investment plan and how all of those align and the work that we are doing and recommending to the board of directors. The last goal is the strategic business plan. And that, as you all have been involved in the work sessions and in the meetings, know that that's efforts that are underway and we will continue to communicate all those details. But our goal is to have something to the board communicated to you guys on a regular basis. So we gave you guys a break this month, probably next month that's coming back to use for more information. So there's lots going on at the district. The board had important key goals. They wanted me to focus my time and that's where my staff and I have focused our time. So wanted to provide you all that information for you to provide me feedback early. We're about halfway through the period. And I thought this would be a really good time for you guys to provide me any feedback at this meeting or for the committee that is convening on the 29th. That would also be an appropriate time. But just wanted to provide that. Any questions?
I don't see any hands up, AJ. Thank you for, oh, Don has a question. Go ahead, Don. Don, you're on mute.
Thank you. I was just saying I was going to make trouble for you here. Somewhere near the end of your report, in the discussions of the stuff you were doing, you mentioned putting toilets in downtown. And I wondered if there'd been some consideration about LTD providing toilet facilities along its route, which it does not.
We typically do not provide it throughout our route, but we do try to, when we do have restrooms available, are locations in which we know, like the Springfield Station and the Eugene Station, where people have a waiting period. Most of our stops, as you know, people arrive and they're hoping to get on a bus. They're not normally transferring. So that's why they're also very hard to maintain and create sometimes issues, not only for us as a transit agency, but also for the local jurisdiction, like the cities that are involved in that. And I will tell you, Don, that we've been in communications with the city of Eugene about porta potties, probably more than you can imagine. This is a hot topic. And it's something that we know that we have a role and a responsibility in partnership with the city. And we're trying to figure out how to do it right. So know that, like, I don't know how many staff hours have been spent talking about porta potties and restrooms. And so that's a huge, big conversation. We have tentative solutions, but our goal, of course, is to, as soon as we can and some of the restrictions are lifted, and we open up our facilities so that we can allow people access, not just to porta potties, but, you know, to good restrooms, clean restrooms.
Well, thank you for that. Did AJ, did we get the trash thing figured out with the city? I mean, we had a presentation a few months ago about, you know, a real problem with trash being dumped on LTD property.
Trash throughout the city is a continuous problem, both for the city and for LTD. But what we have had conversations about solving it is that the coordination could be improved, that by working with the city in some type of coordinated agreement, they have larger vehicles, larger contracts than we do, that maybe we could do some cost sharing in which LTD pays. You know, we do our routine maintenance, but when there's larger, bulkier items left at our bus stops, that we would just kind of work with the city so that the city could, you know, bring some of their big equipment, and then we would pay into that cost. So that way there was some cost sharing, but we wanted some efficiencies and some quick response to that, because as you saw the pictures, they were pretty disturbing, the piles of trash that is sometimes dumped at bus stops and blocking access for people in wheelchairs or riders trying to get on the bus.
Thanks for answering that, AJ. And Don, thanks for asking that. I did want to draw everyone's attention to the ridership update that is in the written reports. As a reminder, what we decided to do was, instead of having a physical presentation by Tom and crew, you know, every other week or so, was to just have it inserted in the written reports and to just kind of save some time. And that way, if anyone had questions, now would be a good time to address those, or you could send an email. But I also wanted to bring attention to the last time we did have a ridership update. Stephen, I believe you asked for some specific data, and maybe Emily too, it might've just been Stephen, but they did include that. in the reports. And so I just wanted to make sure that didn't get overlooked, but that those specific numbers are in there.
I saw
anyone. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Stephen.
I saw that and thank you. And thank you for the LTD team.
Okay. Great. Stephen, did you have any questions about anything that was in the report?
No, I'm good. But okay. Thank you for checking in.
Okay, great. Okay. And did anyone else have any other comments or questions about any of the written reports? Josh.
Thank you. So I, just quickly on the ridership and operations report, I just want to say I really appreciate, and this is obviously a testament to really good work by our staff, really appreciate that we have pushed overloads down even further. So that was, pretty awesome to see it now below 0.5%. So that's, I'm sure that's making people feel more at ease. I mean, there are a lot of things making people feel more at ease these days, bit by bit, but that is, I'm sure, one of them. So great job to the to LTD staff for making that happen.
Great, thanks, Josh. I just wanted to let everyone know it's 7 o'clock now. We typically end at 7:30. However, thank you to AJ and Camille. When we set the agenda, we purposefully wanted to make sure that we were being very concise and effective with our time, since we do have a special executive session after this meeting. We wanted to still make sure we could kind of fit within the time frame. So thank you again to AJ and Camille for being aware of our time and structuring that accordingly tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm now going to adjourn this meeting of the LTD Board of Directors and just let the board know we're going to go into a separate special non-public executive session meeting. You've all received the Zoom link a few minutes ago from Camille. And at the end of the executive session, we will adjourn, and that should be by 7:30. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for your time.
May I just say something? Go ahead, AJ. Before we conclude, Susan, I know you were not getting your emails. We want to make sure an executive session means that it's not on the public. So we want to make sure that we can. So, so if you want to call me or something, we can coordinate that. Okay, so I just wanted to bring that. And anybody else who has, Camille or I, just contact us. We'll make sure we get you over.
Okay, see you all in a moment. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Go drink some green beer. Well, wait, after the executive session.